Welcome to the Inside College Soccer Podcast, bringing together some of the best college soccer-related people to your earbuds, from coaches to players and beyond. So, thank you for tuning in. The Inside College Soccer Podcast is brought to you by Sports Recruiting USA, the college soccer experts. Now, enjoy the show.
All right. Hey, Nick. Good to be able to talk to you again, brother. Kids come up with questions all the time about, and I know you answer a lot of questions on Twitter and on Instagram, but kids and their parents come up with nutrition questions all the time. So I thought this would just be a good opportunity for me to read you some of the common questions that we get and just hear what you have to say about them.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I know, yeah, there's always questions flowing through conversations, and that's where a lot of the content definitely comes from as well.
And Nick, I know if people want to, I know people will love to hear what you have to say, and we'll plug. I want to make sure that we plug you and let people know how to get a hold of you if they want to hire you to specifically answer the questions for them. So I know the questions that we're going to ask here, you're going to just be able to give generalized answers. But everybody's body's different. Everybody's situation is different. Different sports, different situations that kids are training for, periodization, different times of the year. There's probably some things that they should be doing. And so if people want to hire you, I want people to be able to know how to get a hold of you too.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the easiest ways is, through social media. So Nick Lemke, LEM as in Mary, KE, and an RD at the end. But even if you just looked up my first and last name, you should find me at this point. The other option too is you guys can text my business number, the 253-470-2423. You can text or call that number.
All right, and that's a US number. So if somebody's from overseas and wants to talk to you, it's plus one for the US. So, all right, let's get to the first question, Nick. What should a player eat the night before a showcase or game to perform their very best the next day?
Yeah, so night before a game, we really want to make sure we're checking that carbs box, especially because I know a lot of soccer games can be earlier in the day, and so we want to make sure that we're getting a good source of carbs, and so focusing more on those slow digesting carbs, the complex carbs as we call them. And so, the night before a game, we really want to make sure we're getting, whether it be rices, whether it be, quinoa is a little fancier, whole grain pastas, something like that. That should be the good base of the meal, because we do want to start storing up that gas tank or filling up that gas tank, especially, again, for those morning games. And so getting a good source of that and then complementing that with a lean protein, focus on the proteins that make you feel good. Like, you don't want a protein where afterwards you kind of feel sluggish or like that's going to impact you the next day. So, I try to lean more towards the turkey, the chicken, the fish. Maybe some lean cuts of beef might work, like a steak, or even some certain pot roasts could work. But yeah, we want to lean on a protein that makes you feel good. And then from there, the adding some color to that, adding some veg, something to help with that recovery process. And then a carb I forgot to even mention too is like potatoes, sweet potatoes, things like that as well.
All right, but the heavy white breads and the and then a bagel in the morning and that kind of stuff, that's probably stay away from that kind of stuff. Pizza,
Well,
things like that.
it depends. So the morning of the games, we want to think about what is our time window. And so if we have a very short time window, then we might need to lean on some quicker energy carbs. If you only have 30, 60 minutes, sometimes those bagels might come in handy. It's not something that we want on a regular basis, but if you just need something that's like, okay, I need energy, then it's like, yeah, those things might work. For breads, I try to lean away from right before the games, especially like a really seedy bread, but you could still do whole wheat. eat a whole wheat bread and you still feel pretty good. Like you don't feel like, it's not going to sit on your stomach as long. It's kind of a happy medium there. And so I like to lean on those like before games, whether that be that with some toast or with some peanut butter, or you could do it with like jelly if you have an even shorter window, like a honey or a jelly with that. But yeah, in when you have a shorter window in the mornings, that's where we kind of have to be a little bit more intentional, because I'd rather you have something than nothing. A
Makes
lot of
sense.
athletes, they go, yeah, a lot of athletes, they go with nothing because they're like, oh, well, this food made me feel crappy before. It's like, okay, well, you probably ate a food that didn't really, it wasn't the best choice in the morning. So it's finding what works for you.
Okay, that makes sense. All right. And that kind of answers the second question about what an ideal pregame meal is. So I think that's fantastic. Hydration. I used to tell my players, and I've been told that this might be outdated, but keep drinking water till you pee clear. I don't want to see that heavy, smelly, yellow urine, deep, deep yellow color. But is that the right advice, or what about hydration?
Yeah, so for hydration, we want to make sure clear can be a little too far sometimes. Clear can mean maybe we're overhydrated, and that can actually cause us to have low sodium levels in the blood, which can impact focus and yeah, all that kind of stuff. So I'm more we talk about like a we compare like apple juice, which is what you were describing, that dark that yellow, to more of like a pale lemonade color, where that's a little bit more moderate, and more kind of what we're looking for, so that you're not overhydrating but also not like dehydrated. And then yeah, and with that, I want to stress, when it comes to hydration, it's not just about, oh, hey, we got to drink a bunch of water an hour before. Let's drink water, the night before, the day before, the morning of, like first thing in the morning. I drink, I work out in the mornings. First thing I do in the morning is drink, anywhere from 16 to sometimes even 40 ounces of water in my first like 30 minutes of waking up. And it just depends on how my body's feeling. But, the more that you can tap into that the morning of, the better off you're going to be. Because again, you're filling that gas tank up of, water-wise, so that you're ready to go for that game.
So, how important is it right after a showcase or an activity? How important is it to get something into you? How quickly should we've been trying to get something into us, and what are we targeting to try to get into us for recovery?
Yeah, so the mistake that a lot of athletes make is they wait too long post-workout to eat anything, or they only focus on one thing or the other. So post-workout, we really number that 30 to 60 minute window is really ideal for the carbs and the protein. That 30 to 60 minutes post-workout or post-game, post-showcase is really one of those key areas where we start that recovery process and where our body's most ready to take in the carbs and the protein. And so, yes, we want to have the protein, that can help us rebuild that muscle. But if we're not refilling that gas tank up, like the research shows that you will not perform as well the next day or later on that day if you're not getting in those carbohydrates. So especially that 30 to 60 minute window. And so that's where we really want to try to get in, as quick as possible. And we're going to be wanting more carbs than protein, because you're burning a lot of energy from those, the games, the showcases, et cetera.
Yeah, I used to have my kids. Is this a good advice? I used to have my kids. I remember being in the U.S. national team training center and talking to some coaches, and they had like chocolate milk that they had their guys slam right afterwards. Like coming off the field, they get in the locker room, they go to the refrigerator, grab that chocolate milk, and put it down right away. Is that still good advice, or is that outdated?
Yeah, so that's still one that's really well researched. So when I was at Central Washington University, like that's one of the schools that's done a lot of the research around the chocolate milk. And it's the thing about chocolate milk is, yeah, you get some of that protein, you get those carbohydrates, and you get a variety of carbohydrates. You get the quick sugars and you get some of the more slow digesting that kind of helps you with more consistent energy, versus if you just have candy or just like simple sugars, you're coming up, but you're going to come down fast if you don't follow that up with some more. And so you get those boxes checked, but then you also get electrolytes. You get the sodium, the calcium, potassium, you get a good variety of electrolytes from there that, checks that box as well. So it can be a really good recovery drink. I've started to lean more towards either either having that chocolate milk and doing maybe the Dairy Gold Fit or the Fairlife ones, where at least you get some more protein in there as well. But it also just depends on how quickly are you going to have a meal, how quickly are you going to have like something else. Because if you're going to go and have a meal like an hour after that, then it's like, okay, like, just get those carbs, get some protein checked, and then follow it up that hour post and get that fuller meal.
All right, good advice. Does nutrition really change on training days versus rest days? Or should we just be building a good daily lifestyle of eating the same types of things no matter what?
Yeah, so training versus rest days, this is one where, yeah, rest days can get a little bit tricky because some athletes, they might binge, they might just completely deviate, they'll just stop eating, they'll be sleeping in, so then they miss a whole window of the day. And it's like, okay, well, if we want to recover from those workouts, like you guys just put your body under a lot of stress. So we still want to have some consistency, some routine around those rest days, but it doesn't have to be as regimented. Like we don't need to have, these things at these times and whatever. More so my goal is on your rest days, just have balanced meals consistently. The mistake that a lot of athletes make is they try to go or they go for the chips or the candy or the things like that because they're low energy or caffeine for low energy. When really they just need to have more balanced meals. Because if you're checking the carb boxes through the whole grains, the fruits, the potatoes, all those things that we talk about, if you have those at meals with the protein, with the color, with the fats, like you're not going to have as much of these up and down energy dips. You're going to have more steady energy throughout the day. It's going to help your body bounce back faster so that when you come back on Monday or whatever is your next like training day, you feel your best. If you want to maximize your potential as an athlete and your performance as an athlete, like we've got to still have some consistency. It doesn't have to be this crazy regimen, but just be consistent and make sure you're getting that, that balance at each meal.
Yeah, good advice. When kids are in school all day long, and obviously they get their lunchtime break, but then a lot of times you don't get something to eat till 3, 4 o'clock, and then a lot of kids have to head straight off into training after that. So what should they be packing in their backpack that they can get something in them to carry them through training?
Yeah, so it can be really tricky on school days to get enough fuel in, to get enough, gas in your tank to prepare for those workouts. And a lot of athletes, they go for the caffeine, for example, right at, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, whatever that may be, whenever that practice is, because they're low energy. It's like, okay, well, you haven't eaten in 4 hours. For some of you, maybe longer, depending on how early your lunch is. So that's where, yeah, we want to make sure we're getting something in. I always recommend on training days or game days every 3 to 4 hours, sometimes more often. So if you think you have your lunch at 11 p.m., maybe noon, that's more of a balanced, solid meal. And then you have more of a 1 to 2 hours out. So maybe in your sixth period or whatever your last period is, doing something that has some protein and then a higher carb intake there. And so that could be, a lot of my athletes, they like their Clif bars or the Kind energy bars. Those can work really well. Sandwiches, a lot of my athletes, like I try to deviate from a bunch of sandwiches at lunchtime so that they can use those sandwiches around workouts because they feel easier, the PB&Js, the turkey sandwiches, they just feel lighter on the stomach. But then I also have athletes, like I have a basketball player who, she really likes doing Greek yogurt and fruit and granola so that she gets, again, the protein and the carbs there. And so, yeah, any of those things where you're hitting some of the protein box, but really emphasizing the carbs. And then the last key thing I really want to emphasize is always have a backup plan. Always have, whether it be some mandarin oranges or maybe something more shelf stable, like those little fruit leathers, something that you can have if your energy's starting to come down, right before a workout, you can take one of those and keep that energy level up. Or even like mid workout, you could use those.
All right, really good. Now, when females are experiencing their menstrual cycles, are there any nutrition issues that they have that they should be that they could be, are they losing more iron? So should they be supplementing? What should they be doing eating differently during menstrual cycles?
Yeah, so for the female athletes out there, female teen athletes are at the highest risk for iron deficiency. And so we really want to make sure that just in general, we're getting enough. Like, yes, during those periods where you're losing iron, but also just in general, we want to be making sure we're checking that iron box. You know, if I always tell athletes, you know, the top three reasons your energy sucks is your nutrition, your hydration, or your sleep. But then those other two are going to be iron and vitamin D, and those female athletes really need to make sure, especially, that they're getting the iron, and which can be hard because a lot of female athletes, they tend to be more likely to be vegetarian or vegan, and so we want to make sure that they are getting those iron sources. And so if you are a meat eater, you know, get the protein, basically the beef, the chicken, all those, especially beef, will have more iron in it. But even if you are more plant-based, you can go for, you know, beans, lentils, nuts and seeds, even oats will have some iron in it. But what we want to do with the plant-based iron is we want to combine that with vitamin C. So that could be vitamin C from like oranges, fruits, things like that. Could be veggies like bell peppers. But we want to make sure, because that's going to help better absorb that plant-based iron. And then also, like, let's still, I know you may not feel like eating or drinking as much, or you might just, in general, might be more difficult. So making sure that you have some backup plans, you know, maybe you have a smoothie place that you can go to make sure that you're getting your protein, your carbs, like those from an easy smoothie, just so that you have something in you rather than, you know, not taking in anything.
Right. Do meat snacks come into play here at any point? Protein meat snacks or beef jerky type of things? Does that check any of those boxes?
Yeah, so the meat sticks, like the Chomps is a popular one right now. The brand Chomps is a popular one, and so, you know, getting the beef or the turkey sticks can work really well for, you know, number one, getting the iron, number two, the protein. But then also they're going to be pretty salty, and so that could be a quote unquote natural way or a non-sports drink way to get that salt too.
Really good, really good. So I know that athletes are concerned about, building lean muscle, but then not getting the fats, not wanting to have to store fat. So are there specific things that they should be thinking about when they're eating to that keeps them, going that unwanted body fat gain versus building lean muscle?
Yeah, so this is always a good one. A lot of athletes, they, you know, like you said, they want to build lean muscle without, you know, adding body fat, or they may even want to reduce body fat. Like they need to work on that. And what I find with a lot of my athletes, including the female athletes, including, you know, all athletes alike, is that they're not eating enough, you know. And so I had a soccer player who, she wanted to lean out, she wanted to have a little bit more, she wanted to see her muscles more, you know. And her mistake was actually she wasn't eating enough, especially at the right times. You know, I mentioned the pre and the post workout, like especially post workout, you know, those are actually both. Those are really crucial times to get in the protein and the carbs. And so, you know, we find that those who are not eating well post-workout, like, yeah, you may not build muscle as effectively. You may not be able to necessarily like recover as well from that workout, which means, yeah, you're not going to build that muscle as effectively. You're not going to be able to like necessarily lean out as well. But then also sleep. Like, sleep's going to be a crucial part of building more muscle and reducing body fat, because it's one of the most crucial times where we produce growth hormone. And growth hormone's a big factor in muscle building and decreasing body fat. So the more that we can work on that, the sleep piece is huge. And then when it comes to the nutrition the rest of the day, you know, making sure you're getting a balanced breakfast, hitting the protein, not just some cereal or some protein waffles or whatever, but like getting a solid source of protein there, and just eating more, like I said, every 3 to 4 hours is actually going to be better for you, especially if you're hitting your protein box at each meal, and then you're getting those carbs in around the workout so that you actually feel energized. And then if you have an issue with snacking, and that's your barrier, or I shouldn't say snacking in general, snacking on junk foods, the key thing about cutting out the junk foods or eating less of those is number one, making sure you're getting those carbohydrates, get the good carbohydrates. But then also add more fiber to your meals. You know, get more of the veggies, the fruits, those types of things, because you're gonna feel full longer. So you're gonna be less likely to gravitate towards those things that may be holding you back from, you know, the body fat piece.
And I know that you're a big fan of getting your nutrients through food as opposed to supplements, but I know that there are times when supplements are necessary, like creatine. Creatine has made a difference in me. It's helped my brain fog is cleared up. It's really helped me, and it's helped me in my recovery. I notice when I go to the gym, and I only do like 5 milligrams a day, just a scoop a day in my shake. But man, the soreness in my muscles after lifting weights has almost gone away. I don't get that lingering 2 and 3 day muscle soreness anymore since I've been supplementing with creatine. So electrolytes, creatine, protein powders. What do you say about supplements?
Yeah, so supplements in general, I really wanna like a lot of athletes overdo it. And so I wanna preface that, like, there is a point where we're overdoing it. There's also a case where a lot of athletes are just going for whatever they're like, oh, my friend's taking this, so let me try this thing, you know. And one of the big ones right now, it's continuing to grow. I'm having more conversations with people talking about it, is like BCAAs. BCAAs are three of the nine amino acids that we need from food. Only three. And yes, they're the ones that are tied to, you know, muscle recovery and those types of things, but no study has shown or shown consistently that taking BCAAs is better than
And what does
just taking protein.
BCAA stand for?
Branched chain amino acids.
Okay.
Yeah, so they're basically, again, only three of the nine amino acids, and the research shows that just taking regular protein, whether that be whey protein or from food sources, you know, is gonna be no different than taking the BCAAs. I'd rather you take the complete protein where you get the other benefits than just BCAAs alone. I just want to preface that because I've literally just recently had conversations on that. Protein itself, protein powders, those types of things can be beneficial, but I'm all about like, hey, let's check your protein box through food first. If you're still having a hard time with it, I know it can be hard, especially when you're busy, and sometimes it can be convenient. So, you know, we may need to tap into, even if it is like a Core Power Fairlife type of protein shake, you know, even the pre-made ones, we could use a powder as well. The creatine is, you know, creatine is one of, if not the most well-researched supplement for athletes. So I'm definitely a fan of creatine. You know, it's one of those where I may start it earlier in a client, as long as they are eating consistently, hydrating well, because creatine does hold on to water. We do want to make sure, you know, we're well hydrated with it. But yeah, creatine, it is very beneficial. It can be very useful for those athletes. And it is for the recovery side of things. It is for the muscle building side of things. It's also, like you said, for the brain piece. You know, this is something that's being actively researched, not just for athletes, but in people in general, is how it can impact memory and focus, and then even post-concussion. You know, we see that in concussions, creatine drops in the brain. And that could be potentially attributing to some of those symptoms we have going on post-concussion. And so if we treat that concussion with higher doses of creatine, like, this is what's being actively researched right now, of like how we can, you know, have a protocol for creatine post-concussion to help bounce back faster. Electrolytes, I don't always put it in the supplement category, but in a way it is. You know, it is something kind of separate. And so with electrolytes, you know, again, it's one of those convenient things. And for the athletes, especially living in California, Arizona, Georgia, and Florida, especially, like those hot, humid, especially the humid places, you're losing a lot of salt through your sweat. And it's very difficult to get enough of that through food, especially as a, you know, well-trained athlete. And so, yeah, sometimes those electrolytes are useful. I just recommend getting them from quality sources. You know, Gatorade and Powerade, they serve their purpose, but they also have a lot of other things in them that could be potentially not so great for us, like the food dyes and stuff. I'm more of a fan of, okay, if you need a higher salt solution, you can get like a liquid IV. If you want something that's similar to Gatorade but just better quality, Scratch Labs is one that I really like. But yeah, and then with supplements in general, anything that has a supplement facts label on it, like it says supplement facts instead of nutrition facts, we want to make sure that we are as athletes getting it third party tested. And that's not GMP, good manufacturing practices. This is NSF certified for sport. It is Informed Sport certified, one of those two, to make sure that what's on that label is actually what's in the product, because supplements aren't regulated the same. And so they could have a bunch of garbage in them that are not on the label, and they can get away with it basically. And whether that's on purpose or not, it's just something that athletes, if you don't want to have banned substances potentially in them, like NCAA banned substances in them, or you just want to know what you're taking, then
Right.
just have that third party testing, even if it means a little bit more expensive. So
I think that makes sense. Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. What are the most common mistakes that you see like soccer players make when they're taking their when they're eating and their eating habits? Like when you come to your clients, what makes you cringe?
So two of the top mistakes I see athletes making, especially soccer players, is number one, not eating enough. Like that is the
I
number
agree.
one. Yes, and that is the number one issue. And this is a lot of parents, a lot of coaches are like, all the sugar that they're eating, all the chips they're eating. I'm like, they're eating those things because they're not eating enough. And so
Right.
if we can fix that problem, get the breakfast, get all those routines, have a consistent routine in the day, that's going to eliminate a lot of that sugar that they're craving. And you don't really need, you won't feel like you need it as much. So that's number one. Number two, and this it kind of goes with that, is the dependence on caffeine. That soccer player I mentioned, she was taking in, I think, a two or three. I think two or three different energy drinks or caffeine drinks throughout the day, and some of those were later on in the day. And it's like we do that because either our sleep sucks or our nutrition sucks. And so
Right.
if we can fix those, again, that'll eliminate a lot of that need for the caffeine. One thing that I do talk about with caffeine, I don't really recommend it for high school players. If you're already drinking a ton of it, let's just shorten the window that you're doing it. Let's not do it the first 90 minutes of the day, and let's not do it the last 8 to 10 hours of the day,
Right.
because that's what can really impact your energy and your sleep negatively.
Right.
So, yeah.
That's brilliant. So there are times that players will come off, in halftime and it's feel like they've hit a wall and they're just all of a sudden it's dropped. Is there anything they can do? I know I've heard pro players, taking a tablespoon of honey, that kind of thing at halftime. Is that recommended or is there anything that they can do to give themselves a boost to get them through the second half?
Yeah, so with second half play, yeah, a lot of athletes, they drop halfway through, and it's especially true for those athletes who are playing all game. They're in the game most of the time. And so, number one, I always stress, if we can fix that problem ahead of time by having those balanced meals. But even with the balanced meals, it still can be not enough, especially if you're doing multiple games a day. And so what I recommend, yeah, like things like the honey. The honey can be a good strategy. Mandarin oranges, sometimes bananas, but even bananas, depending on the ripeness and stuff, might be a harder to digest one. The fruit leather type bars can work. Applesauce, again, maybe, but you just have to be kind of careful about that. But one thing I want, oh, and I should also mention the sports drinks. Like, this is where those can come in handy, because you can check that sugar box and you're going to be using that sugar. So like, yes, we don't want you drinking those, all the sugars just when you're sitting around doing nothing. But if you're training, like that can be a really useful
Right.
time to take that in. And so, that's why I want the sports drinks that have the sugar in it, because you're going to use that sugar for energy, but also for actually absorbing the electrolytes. And so, yeah, if we can have those, and also understand, a lot of soccer players, especially, they don't want to feel heavy. They don't want to, upset their stomachs. So maybe you don't drink the whole thing, or maybe you don't eat the whole thing. Maybe you have a half of fruit leather, when you
Right.
come out of the game, and then you have another half of the fruit leather later on. Like, it doesn't have to be the
Okay.
whole thing. So it can be a little sips, like even having, There's this whole idea of like the carbohydrate mouth rinse. Like it doesn't have to be a mouth rinse where you spit it out, but even just taking in some of those carbs, like it stimulates your taste, but it stimulates all these different things that kind of actually have this perceived increase in energy as well, even if you're
Okay.
not like swallowing it. So, I mean, I
Well, that's
prefer you to swallow
easy.
it, but yeah.
That's easy. So our parents had it right when they were giving us orange slices at halftime. They didn't know they were, they, I don't know, our parents didn't care. They didn't know, but they were doing the right thing for us. That's good to know.
Yeah. Well, and I like the orange slices too. Like I use those as a pre-workout. In the mornings when I only have 20, 30 minutes, I have a banana and I have one or two of the oranges, and it's just for a lift or whatever. But like
Okay.
it's pretty easy doable thing, and you get a good amount of carbs, and it's a balance of different carbs in there too. So
I
yeah.
like that, and it's durable and handles all weather, and I like it. That's easy. Vegetarians and vegans, what do they have to keep in mind? And are there certain, like, if you're going to do this, then you must do this?
So yeah, vegetarians and vegans can be tricky, the vegans especially. With vegetarians, with both of them, there's always that conversation of how do you get enough protein? And I'll tell you, there's plenty of ways to get protein. For the vegetarian, you have more flexibility. With vegetarians to get protein, yes, eggs, but even better, egg whites. I eat a lot of plant-based foods, but what I do is I will add egg whites to beans, to rices, to things like that, just to like, boost that protein box, And then there's also Greek yogurt, a great way to get protein, as a vegetarian. So still utilizing that can be really beneficial there. Milks in general, you can get a little bit more protein from milk. On the And fish, depending on if you eat fish, leaning on that a little bit more, having that a few times a week. For the vegan, we have less options, and this will apply for the vegetarians too to get the protein. Is the tofu is a great, soy in general is a great protein source. So getting it from tofu, edamame, even soy milk, those sources especially. And then beans, lentils, nuts, and seeds all get your protein, but there's a little bit, it's not as much versus how much you have to eat to get that amount of protein. So it's a little bit more work essentially. One thing with the beans, you can adapt pretty well to them. If you're eating beans regularly and you have less of the gas, less of the maybe having to use the bathroom, and which can be a concern on game days. So what I try to stress with athletes is if you are eating the beans and things like that also have high fiber, is drink a lot of water before you do that, because that can help kind of aid that digestion so you don't get as much of the gas or the upset stomach, so that you could still eat it on game day, just maybe not, an hour before a game type of thing. And so balancing that out, and the iron boxes, again, that same vein of like, yeah, we basically all those protein foods I just listed, plus oats and whatnot, are gonna have the iron in it. We just, again, want to make sure that we're combining it with the vitamin C foods. A lot of people are concerned about B vitamins. B12 is really the only one that can be a challenge for especially vegans, because again, meat sources tend to be the main source. And so we just have to get, maybe a little bit more creative with the B12. Even things like oh, what's that thing called? It's like the fake cheese. It's like sm or it's like used as a cheese substitute for vegans. I'm spacing on the name of it right now, but it's like a little like flakes type of thing that has a really high amount of B12 in it. But that's gonna bother me not being able to ha come up with the name of it. But yeah, it's a good like B12 source just as a substitute. And yeah, so it's just that would be the main thing. And some plant-based foods will have the B12, just not as in high volumes as you would get from like a beef or something.
So maybe, I mean, if I am a vegan, maybe this is where like AG1 and Athletic Greens might come into play if it's got additional vitamins added to it, or not necessarily.
So I will say in general, I don't love the substitute greens,
Okay.
the AG greens and stuff like that, just because we don't really truly know how much of those nutrients are actually in there, especially with the
Uh-huh.
processing that's required. So, who knows how much of those vitamins and all the minerals are actually still retained in those things.
Right.
Back to that supplement conversation of, yeah, it's not as well
Right.
regulated. But, if the thing with B12 though is it's fortified in so many different things at this point. It's
Right.
in like every single drink you can possibly think of. So
Right.
there's definitely a lot of ways you can still check that B12
So read your
box.
labels, pay attention to what's in the labels, just make sure that you're
Yeah.
picking up enough.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
And a lot of those things you can get tested too. Like I think vegans in general should get their labs checked more often, like iron labs and even some of those vitamin labs, like B12.
Okay, no, that makes sense. I think that's really important. Some of the questions here, I think we've already answered. You've given us examples of like full day eating, what we should be covering. You just get those regular meals in. I think that that's what's important. And you've talked about sleep already a little bit, the importance of sleep. So kids, look, the important thing is get the blue lights off, get off of the television and the computers. And anything that's got color in it has got blue light. I think if you're reading a black and white Kindle, it doesn't have that blue light. So if you need to read before bedtime, it's okay to read a book or a Kindle, but get those blue lights off, right?
So the blue light's a big one. The other thing I tell my athletes is think about what else does that screen, whatever that screen is, whatever you're doing on that screen, what else is that doing to your brain? Are
Right.
you more dis is your brain going to ruminate more posts after you do that? I make the phrase of like you might stop scrolling, but your brain hasn't. So if you just scrolled a bunch of TikTok videos, regardless of what color your screen was, your brain was still working that whole time, and it's still trying to process that like 30 videos that you just watched, even like all those all at once. So think about that, and this is where cutting that 30 to 60 minutes off, pre bedtime, setting an alarm for that, and moving that screen time to a different time of your day or your week, so that yeah, you may use it, but just not in the ways that it's going to negatively impact you.
Right, really, really good advice. Look, the last one I want to cover, and I used to, when I had kids coming, that I was recruiting players into our college, and okay, we're committing you. You've got a year before you come in here. I know one of the things that I would tell them was you get into that kitchen and learn to cook. And just learning how to cook, if nothing else, it tells you, what you should be looking for when you're purchasing meals. Even if it's in the cafeteria, you'll learn better what nutritional, foods go are good for you, and what. But a lot of schools have the kids rent apartments, and so they might have to cook for themselves, and especially athletes, because athletes, you might have to leave earlier before the cafeteria opens, or you might be training during lunchtime, so you're going to have to go back and cook either before or after, even if it's hot plate cooking or microwave cooking, but you may have to cook your own meals or have your own food. So what advice can you give kids on easy to prepare type meals that would get them through maybe a typical breakfast, lunch, and dinner that are, quick, easy to do? What kind of foods they should be looking to put inside their meals?
Yeah, so when it comes to quick and easy meals, it's number one, finding things that are adaptable. You want to have things that you can adapt to different situations, different training and stuff. One that I try to lean on a lot that can be really beneficial, especially like I feel like a lot of my female athletes like these more, but some of my male athletes too is overnight oats or some sort of oat-based thing. Because
Oh.
overnight oats, you don't need to cook it. It's literally you can just have a little mini fridge with your milk, or you could just use water as your liquid. And then you can still get the oats. You can add, protein to it, whether that be Greek yogurt or even a protein powder if you need it. Getting nuts and seeds, all these shelf-stable things that you can use to put in there. And then you let it soak overnight, it gets softer, all those types of things. So you could do it that way. You could also get the instant oatmeal packets. I just try to lean more towards number one, trying to check that protein box. And then number two, like, let's try to get more of the original oats versus the ones that have a ton of the artificial sugars, like all the weird sugars in there and questionable ingredients in there. Yeah, you need some of that, but some of the sugar, I should say, but not, you know, the way that a lot of those are made. So that's a good one. For Greek yogurt parfaits in general. So again, if you have a mini fridge, if you can have something like that, that can help you go a long ways and have those yogurts. And I recommend more so if you can get the little tub ones, because then you can turn a simple Greek yogurt that normally is 100 calories in a little cup, and you can turn that into an 800 calorie, 500,000 calorie meal just by what else you put in there: nuts,
Oh.
seeds, granola, fruits, you know, all that kind of stuff. So yeah, that's an easy one that you don't have to cook. And then, you know, I really lean on, if you can get a toaster oven, like a toaster oven is going to be more versatile than a microwave. So,
Oh,
you
good
know,
point.
a toaster, yeah. So, like, toaster oven, you can toast things in there. You don't have to have a toaster if you have that. If you have one of the ones with the multiple settings, you can air fry, you can do all the different things with one thing. Because I live in this that I'm in right now is like 200 total square feet. Like, I just have the kitchen right now with the shower, and like, it's like, that's all I got. And so I have to like be crafty with what space I have. And so my thing is toaster oven on top of the fridge, and you know, that serves its purpose. You can have a kettle if you want, you know, for hot water. But yeah, so with that, like, if you can bulk prep some of those dorms, you guys might have like a shared kitchen. Maybe you can bulk prep a bunch of chicken and rice, and maybe you just eat it cold. You know, it's not always appealing to eat cold food, but like, it serves its purpose. So, you know, having some of those, there's a lot of the pre-made things that you could also utilize some of those for. Let's see. Sandwiches, easy, you know, again, another one that can be relatively shelf stable, you know, with limited, you know, freezer cooler space being used. But yeah, I think a lot of that type of stuff.
That's good. No, that's really good. That's really good. Last thing I want to hear from you, because you talk about this a lot, and I want you to explain what you mean, but the difference between an average athlete and a great athlete, you know, one that underachieves because of their nutrition. They just end up falling short. What do you mean by that? What's the difference between, you know, what is a good college athlete and a great college athlete or a pro athlete? What's the difference as far as nutrition goes?
Yeah, so I mean, we hear a lot of the stories of, you know, the average versus the great athlete, of, you know, you have this athlete that has a talent but doesn't actually maximize that talent. You know, that's really what we see a lot of the average athletes, and sometimes even some of the great athletes. You have a lot of athletes who can make it to college or pro levels by doing the bare minimum simply because they have such a high ceiling.
Right.
But the thing is, you know, I describe it in mountains because I live in Washington. You think about, you are a Mount Rainier or even a Mount Everest. Maybe you have this huge potential, but then you're only halfway up that mountain. That's all you're really utilizing, you know, versus if you really lock in your nutrition, your hydration, your sleep, and you build a consistency around that, then you are going to be much closer to that peak of that mountain, your full potential, which means that you're not going to have any regrets. You know, if you maximize your potential as an athlete by, you know, getting a good nutrition routine, hydration, sleep, you know, doing the training that you need to do, you're going to be more satisfied when you're done with the sport. You know, and if you truly love your sport as an athlete, then you need to do everything you can to maximize that. And a lot of athletes, they say, oh, well, like, nutrition's a lot of work, or I don't want to have to give up this, or I don't want to do that. And it's like, okay, well, like, let's go back to your why. What's your mission? Like, if you love playing soccer and you want to play that to the college or the pro levels, then let's do everything we can to get to that level.
I agree.
That should overcome any doubts, any barriers, any blocks, any excuses. Because you have something in here that, once, you know, is bigger than those little inconveniences. And so, yeah, so that's where, and it doesn't mean that you have to eat like a like messy or something. Like, we can get there over time. My goal with you, and I talk about this in levels, is if you're average high school athlete, you're eating like everybody else. You can look at what's on your plate and what's on the plate next to you at lunch, and they look basically the same. Maybe more. You might eat a little bit more. Then you go college level, and that's where you're like, no, I'm going to focus on my macros. I'm going to focus on eating more often, eating more consistency. And so that you have better energy, you perform better. Maybe you start passing the eye test more. You improve your, build muscle, lean out, et cetera. That's like college level athlete. Then you have D1 level athlete, which is where you are passing the performance test. You are checking your recovery boxes. So you're getting fruits, veg, the quality nutrition in there, really a lot of the quality, the hydration. And that's the point where we start using supplements, unless somebody has a deficiency. And then that's going to help you be able to, not get injured as much, to not be sore multiple days after your workouts. Like, you're going to bounce back so much faster if you take care of that box. That's D1 level nutrition. That's what's going to really help you maximize even more. And then that pro level nutrition is, you look at the pros, you look at, we'll use LeBron as an example, because you can actually find some things online about this, is what he eats during the regular season looks different than what he eats in the playoffs, because his body is so beaten down at that point that he's like, I've got to do everything I can to just up my nutrition to a whole nother level, more carbs, more of that recovery nutrition, like just a higher level to that. And so, yeah, it's that adaptability of, okay, you're in this season, you got to adapt to this. You're in a travel season where you have to rely on fast food sometimes. We got to be adaptable to that, but it doesn't mean we have to throw everything out the window. We can still do a Chipotle, we could still get some, good quality sandwiches, things like that. But yeah, it's again, we have to go beyond the excuses, beyond the discomfort, and go deep down to, do you want to regret not playing in college because you didn't take care of your nutrition, your sleep, those types of things. Like, you got to look at deep down, how much do you love your sport? And that should overcome all those other things.
I really love that, and I love the way you put it. And I think that's how it goes for players out there listening to this. It goes for your juggling and the wall work and the extra workouts and the weight room and all of those things. Those are just part of being an elite athlete. If that's what you're looking to do, and getting the sleep, and then nutrition is what fuels all of it. It's the most between sleep and nutrition, that's what makes your body run. So if you want to perform and you're not checking those two boxes, all the weight rooms aren't going to matter, and all the extra runs aren't going to matter, and none of it's going to matter if you're not checking those two boxes. So thanks, Nick. And again, best way to get a hold of you is.
So social media, Nick Lemke, RD, or texting me or calling 253-470-2423. And one thing I want to say to the athlete who, like, oh, is like, well, I have all this talent, I already have offers, whatever. It's like, okay, that nutrition is going to catch up to you eventually. It could be now, it could be in college, it could be in the pros. It will catch up to you eventually.
Oh, a little catch up with you in college. If just because you've been recruited, it doesn't mean you've earned any playing time whatsoever. Even if you're a high-level youth player, when you get to college, you have to start all over, and you're at the bottom of the ladder, and you got to start from scratch. So that's a really good point, Nick.
Thank you.
Thanks, man. Thanks for coming on and talking with us. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, and thanks for having me on. It was a good back and forth conversation there. Lots of good questions I know the athletes are regularly asking.